Hey everyone, this is Caitlin again. I want to welcome you to Grace Week. This is a time we set aside every year to honor the week leading up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Once again this year, our good friend and my uncle's Pastor Pete Wilson joins Unscripted. Our friends Tori and Shauna join us too. This year, we look at Luke chapter 6. Pastor Pete will walk us through the community of the withered hand. We invite you to join us on the Unscripted, but most importantly, join the community of the withered hand. Now, here's my Uncle Aaron and his pastor, Pete Wilson.
Welcome back to day 4 of Grace Week. Today, we're going to talk about the community of the withered hand. And if we could all find a community of the withered hand, it would be impactful and powerful. And if you aren't in one, maybe you need to start one. I don't know. I don't know where this message will land, but it's important that we have a community of the withered hand. Welcome back to day 4 of Grace Week. And I love so much when you said, my name's Pete and I'm a sinner. And like three people answered. And you said it again, like 100 or however many people were there, they all answered. And I love that because that is the community of the withered hand. And so I have had people text me and say, my name is X and I am a sinner. And I love it. I love it. I love it because that is the community of the withered hand. Can you just speak to the community of the withered hand? And I'm so honored to be a part of one.
I'll tell you where, first of all, I heard that term for the first time from a pastor named John Ortberg. So I'll give him credit for that phrase. But I think for me, and again, you got to remember, I gave this message in the context of the church. So in that context, I'm trying to say, how can we, and I believe this, I truly believe Jesus was trying to do that whole thing. The reason he did this publicly, the reason he called out this guy in front of everybody was there's another layer to this miracle. It wasn't just him doing a random act of kindness. He's casting vision for the kind of community he wants to create. And it's the kind of community where a guy with a withered hand is important and valued and can find healing. Because up to that point, that was not the religious community. It was one that was extremely judgmental, where someone like this guy was just kind of cast to the side, not seen as someone with worth or value. So there's these layers, right, to what Jesus is doing. And I think that second layer was a lot more important than even him healing his physical hand. What he's trying to cast vision for is this community where people with withered hands are welcome, which again is everybody. It's just some of us are better at hiding our withered hand than others. And, you know, this is why I've railed on this for years now, and I don't know if it's ever going to go anywhere, but the best example I can give is over the past, and I'm sure this has happened throughout all of history, but I've been more tuned into it the past 10 years for obvious reasons. But over the past 10 years, a lot of pastors have fallen, and it's pretty predictable how it's going to play out. They're going to resign or they're going to get fired. And then the church is, to some degree, is probably going to use them as an example. Like they messed up, they're gone. And I understand, like, when you're in leadership, there's a different set of standards. I get all of that. And probably in some of those cases, those pastors at the very minimum needed a time away to heal. And then maybe they could be restored. But the restoration conversation generally does not come into play in most of those scenarios. So when the average church person sees that take place and they see their pastor get exposed, their wither hand gets exposed, and then they see the way that church leadership handles that, in their mind, it sets this precedent. And they're like, oh my gosh, my pastor should not have been looking at porn. That would, like, he shouldn't have been doing that. But when they caught him doing that, what they did to him, there's no way I'm ever going to be honest in this church about the fact that I look at porn or I struggle. Right. Like, it just gets reinforced, this hide your shame, hide your deformity, hide your withered hand. And the example I gave in that message of a community that I think has done this so well is AA, where it's not an environment where they want you to hide your weakness. In fact, they celebrate your weakness. They celebrate your withered hand. They're like, you know, they've created that environment. And most of the time, not all the time, most of the time in the church, we do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
We rarely ever acknowledge or celebrate someone being honest about their struggles, or even being exposed in their struggle. Maybe they weren't honest about it. Maybe they're just flat out exposed. But we don't generally handle that the same way I think that Jesus did, or the way like a community like AA does. And so I think we have a lot to learn still as the church. And we've probably come a long way in some sense, but there's still so much more we could do to create communities where people feel safe to expose their withered hand.
Mm. It's so powerful. And the Bible that I read is full of people that had withered hands.
Yep.
But the Bible that I read also used those people with withered hands, and we're talking, you know, obviously, but to do amazing things.
That's and right.
I know so many men that gravitate towards David.
Mm.
And David was a dirtbag, man.
That's why we gravitate towards him.
That's right. That's why we gravitate towards him, because he was a dirtbag. I mean, he really was. In today's society on Twitter, David would be destroyed.
Yeah.
Because of it, right? I mean, anyway. But I just think that the Bible that I read is full of people that were flawed and had quote unquote withered hands. And yet God still used them in incredible ways. And that's what I think I took away from it. And so I have to ask you, because in the audio, you asked everyone, and you took a risk, but here's the thing. In the audio, I heard chairs popping.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And then I also hear the crack in your voice because I wasn't there. I don't know, but I have to just lean into you now and ask, like, I have a feeling there was a whole lot of people in that room that day. And I heard the crack in your voice that you were eye to eye with a lot of people that were releasing their shame. And you welcomed into the community of the withered hand, or you just like somebody with a warm hug at an AA meeting with cookies and coffee to say, hey, I've been here 46 years, man, and I'm still here on a Friday night, right? Did you experience that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm getting emotional thinking about it right now. Mm-hmm. It was a risk to ask people to stand if they had, you know, shame in their life. They had a withered hand. And I'm no Stephen Furtick. I feel like Stephen Furtick could get tens of thousands of people to stand and do a backflip or something like that. You know, it's not my style.
Yeah.
So to do that was a bit of a risk. And so I think that the audio probably you posted was probably from, there was three services. I think that was the third one. And I was emotional in all three, maybe less in that third one than the first one. I lost it. I mean, completely lost it, because when I asked them to stand, I also asked them to look me in the eye. Mm-hmm. And I tried to make eye contact with as many people as I could. And I could see the hurt. I could see it. Mm-hmm. I could see the weight that a lot of them had been carrying for probably decades. And I didn't know. I have no idea what their shame was. I have no idea how long they've been carrying it around. But you can see it in people's eyes. And if you learn to look for it,
yeah,
I've been through it like I have. You can really pick it out in people. It doesn't take long for me to be able to just look in someone's eyes and I could see it. And I could see it in every one of them. And it just, in that moment, I was emotional because it felt heavy, but I was also emotional because I felt like people were finding freedom. It's just a step, right? It's just a step. I'm under no, like, understanding that somehow just them standing, all of a sudden, all that disappeared. Because I believe the process of healing from shame is a long one. I wish it was as instantaneous as Jesus healing that withered hand that day. And I think maybe sometimes it is for people, but for most of us, it's a process. And we give a little bit of it up and it's healed. Then we have to give a little more up and a little more up. And it's an ongoing process. But man, I was so proud of every person who did that and stood. And I felt like in that moment, again, it wasn't just for them, right? In the same way the healing wasn't just for the withered man, healing took place in that room. Like, again, they didn't have to open their eyes and see how many people were standing. They heard the chairs.
Yeah.
There are very few people that were not sitting by somebody who stood up. So they knew it. They felt it. And there, the people that had the courage to stand up, man, I think they inspired a lot of people that day. And I walked away with this feeling of maybe it's possible. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could create a kind of community, a community of the withered hand, where people understood that exposing their weakness and their struggles and the things that they have in their life could be, it could be the turning point of their life, and they could be met with acceptance and love and just take a step closer to becoming the person they were created to become.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's my turn to get emotional. I have to think for the people, and I love that you gave the pass to say, hey, don't ask them. If somebody next to you stood, don't ask them on the way home. There'll be a moment, right? And I love that you created this space. And I wish we could do that in real life. But like you said, it was church setting. But I wish we could do that in real life too, for people to, first of all, admit, you know, acknowledge and publicly share their withered hand, their shame, and then not have everybody ask about it. Just be okay to say, you know what, let me just work through this. And at the right time, I'm going to tell you. But I have to think that every popping chair had someone sitting next to him that knew.
Yeah.
And you, you created a safe space for them to stand and not be asked. But at the end of the day, there's somebody sitting next to him who already knew. Mm. And man, my prayers for that, for them too. Right.
Yeah.
'Cause there's people that do this journey with us, that, and we think we're hiding. We think we've tucked it under our robe, and we're not.
No.
We're not.
And, they're hurting like we're hurting.
And honestly, they celebrate because they heard that chair pop.
Great.
There are no dimensions you can never measure his love.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Unscripted Podcast. Make sure to review and share wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps out our mission to encourage everyone to live life unscripted. Until next time, keep living life unscripted.